I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Living the dream once again here on a fully loaded Sports Saturday, Fox Sports Saturday. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, we're going to help get you there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. It doesn't get much better than this. I mean, we have the Masters going on right now with a very, very tight leaderboard. This is the final weekend of the regular season in the NBA.
And it's close.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this with one game to go and all the different playoff scenarios. We're going to get to that. We're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We're going to have Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider, joining us coming up here in about 15 minutes. That's just to say a few things that are going on right now in a very exciting time. April is one of those very elite months on your sporting calendar. No question.
Yeah. It's not the whole month. It's just days of the month. And we're lucky that we're right now in the middle of it. But yeah, this NBA stuff, though, I did not expect it to be this close to have this much of an impact. One game left? What?
Think about some of the scenarios right now. You, first of all, the number one seed in the West, you have a three-way tie. After that incredible
nuts
collapse by the Nuggets against the Spurs. You think Wimby's going to win Rookie of the Year?
Okay. And he might win Defensive Player of the Year.
He probably should. He leads the league in block shots. So you have a three-way tie. And then even, to me, even crazier is in the Eastern Conference, where the 5, 6, 7, and 8s are all tied.
Yep.
And there's a big difference between a 5 and 6 seed and a 7 and 8 seed where you avoid the play-in round.
Yeah.
So you have four teams tied for that critical spot. And then, of course, you got the bottom of the West where the Lakers got a break, but it may be short-lived because they've got to play at New Orleans. New Orleans has to win in order to avoid the play-in round. So they're in a must-win situation. If the Lakers were to lose and Golden State and Sacramento win, the Lakers, who currently are sitting in the 8th slot, would fall back to 10 and then have to win two road games in the play-in round just to get into the playoffs. So all of this with one game to go for everyone in the regular season.
And you've mentioned this throughout the season. The perfect scenario for the NBA and for fans, realistically, are that the Lakers and the Warriors both just advance into the playoffs, right? And right now, it could happen, which a couple of weeks ago, they were 9-10. And we were thinking they were going to have to eliminate each other. And maybe, just maybe, they both advance. Because I don't know what the Suns are doing, Steve. I have no idea what happened to the Phoenix Suns.
Well, the Phoenix Suns right now are rooting for the Lakers to beat the Pelicans.
Right.
Because if the right now, the Suns, if the Suns win their final game and the Pelicans lose to the Lakers, the Suns are the sixth seed.
Yeah.
And they get out of the play-in round.
But I'm saying, like, the Suns are boring to me.
Well, they should be better.
They should be 100%. And it's like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's almost like I wish the Suns were in the 10th seed over here. Because they are just, I don't know what they're missing. Because at the start of the season, I was like, oh man, the Suns are going to be tough to stop. And then if you remember, Kevin Durant was like, you can't guard all of us at the same time, you know? And here they are, and they're just boring to me.
Well, again, here's the whole thing. When you look at the talent with the Suns, when you got three superstars, and you have the Lakers with superstars and the Warriors with superstars, I mean, even the Kings obviously have two of the big stars in this league. Even though those teams could all be in the play-in round, remember, Miami went from the play-in round to the finals.
Yeah, because of Jimmy.
So, exactly.
You know I love Jimmy.
I know you love your Jimmy Butler. But, I mean, the bottom line is that none of these teams could be counted out, especially in the Western Conference, where I still look at the Nuggets, despite that critical loss that may have cost them the one seed in the West. Yesterday is San Antonio collapsing, 23-point lead blown. They're still the team to beat.
For sure.
But I mean, is it possible the Lakers could get on a roll like they did last year from the play-in round to get to the Western Conference Finals? Absolutely. Same thing with the Warriors, Kings, Suns. So we're going to get the NBA playoffs going quickly. But yeah, they still have a couple of games here to play over the next 2 days to decide the playoff order. Now, as far as the Masters is concerned, right now, Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler are tied for the lead at 6-under. The back nine at Augusta National is unlike any course on the planet because there's so much risk-reward when you have water holes, because water holes can change the dynamic real quickly here. And we had Scottie Scheffler, who was leading most of the day today. Then he double bogeys 10. He bogeys 11. He falls two shots back. And then he rolls in an eagle putt at 13 to get back tied for the lead. Tiger Woods, I want to talk about just briefly here at the top. It was a very tough day for Tiger today.
Yeah.
He shot a 10 over 82 today.
That's not good.
You know, yesterday he made the cut, setting a new Masters record, making the cut for the 24th consecutive time.
That's right.
But it was very reminiscent of what happened last year when he miraculously made the cut and then had to withdraw in the third round because of his physical breakdown. And yesterday, remember, he was one of the golfers that had to play more than 18 holes because of the rain delay on Thursday. So he didn't just play 18 holes yesterday. He played 23 holes.
Yeah.
This is a guy who has a fused ankle, a fused back, walking Augusta National. Any golfer will tell you, well, is by far the toughest walk of any course on the planet. When you leave the tee box, you will not have a flat lie anywhere on the course. Not in the fairways, not on the greens. So the undulation of this entire course, not only is difficult to navigate in hitting the golf ball, but it's the toughest walking course on the planet.
And it's also tough to replicate. Like, if you wanted to try and do this at home and practice, you can't. You can't. But because of what he had to do, 24 holes, you said?
23 holes yesterday.
Yeah, the fact that he did that and still made the cut, I mean, that just really goes to show you he is the man.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's no question about it. Now, yeah, he did not have a great day, but it's hard. It is hard for me to get very critical with Tiger Woods because of everything that he has overcome and what he just had to do, especially with this weather. He was hoping it was going to be warm with the thunderstorms. I actually don't think it was very warm for him.
I can't imagine how he felt this morning, but I'm sure he woke up feeling like we got trouble.
He said, I'm in pain every day.
Right.
Every single day I am in pain.
So the idea of him now putting together 72 holes like he did in 2019 when he manufactured what I still say to this day is the greatest comeback, 4 back surgeries and coming back to win the Masters. But even at that time, and I was on the air that day with our dear friend Katina Mobley, Cap Mobley, that final round of the Masters, I choked up on the air. When he hugged his mom, I was throwing it to an update to Ralph Irvin, who's a big golf guy. And it was right at that moment where Tiger hugged his mom after the round. And you hear me on the air like losing it a little bit. It was a miraculous comeback. But even that day, after that tournament, because he had finished sixth at the previous Open Championship, second at the PGA, now he wins the Masters. So all of a sudden, the trajectory is that Tiger's back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the media was like, oh, now he's finally going to break that Jack Nicklaus record. And Tiger afterwards was very in the moment saying, you do know how many things had to go right. I mean, I'm playing with four guys that are all battling me, and all four of them put it into the water at 12, and I didn't. And he's trying to explain to him, like, don't make more of this than it is. For whatever reason, the golf god said, all right, we've done enough to you. We're going to give you one more time in the spotlight. And he appreciated that because mm-hmm. he understands the history of the game. He obviously, no one knows the game more than Tiger Woods. But that was it. So now it's more ceremonial, which is fine.
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer did this for years. Like Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, all the legends have sort of played out the strings ceremonially. Now, I'm sure he looked at Phil Mickelson winning that PGA Golf Championship, first golfer ever after the age of 50 to win a major, and he would love to get back to that physical condition. But the reality is, with all the problems he's had with his back, and then the near-fatal car accident, and that mangled leg of his, like you said, what he did just to make the cut is another Tiger Woods miracle.
It is. It is impressive. And it does suck to see that it's coming to the end, right? Slowly, but it's coming to the end. Yet, I don't mind it. I don't mind that this is what we are getting out of Tiger Woods. I am happy with it. And like, I was just so stoked that he made the cut, really, because of what he had to endure. Now, is this his last Masters?
That's a great question.
That's what I'm wondering.
See, you know, Arnold Palmer, who is really the first modern superstar of golf in terms of fan appeal and everything else, he played in 50 Masters, and I think he missed the cut the last 25.
Oh,
I mean, he was no longer really competitive. It didn't matter to his fans.
No,
he'd go out, play two rounds, miss the cut, and wave to the crowd the entire time.
But
Jack Nicklaus was not comfortable with that.
I was going to say, I don't think Tiger would be comfortable with
and
that.
And I don't think Tiger would either.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans want to see him.
Of course.
They really want to see him. But if it's so painful physically for him being out there, he may reconsider. All right, so we got a lot of ground to cover on a very busy Saturday in sports. Coming up on the other side, though, we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. You ready for the NFL draft? I know our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, is ready. He will join us coming up next. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising.
Perfect.
And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here on Fox Sports Saturday. We are live from the TireRack.com studios. And once again, covering so many different things happening in the sports world right now. Again, Scotty Scheffler and Colin Morikawa are currently co-leaders at 6 under par at the Masters. Third round, going to be a big, very tight leaderboard for tomorrow's final round. Should be very exciting. Joining us right now as we are counting down to the NFL draft. He's going to separate fact from fiction. Our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, is joining us once again. So, Adam, obviously I've been, you know, following all the latest rumors. It's been fairly quiet.
I know.
Last week. Like, I've been sort of waiting for some doozy of a rumor. You know, I threw out that blockbuster trade I told you about last week that you very easily were able to dismiss between the Vikings and the Chargers. So what have you been hearing here? I mean, are we feeling pretty set in stone as far as the top picks in this draft right now?
I would say so. Look, it's – and by the way, and I don't know if I talked about this last week. I was in a radio interview on Friday, and they seemed to be – the station I was on seems to be surprised at what I told them. But every team talks to every team, all 32 – between 2 and 4 weeks before the draft. And what happens is they do this because once you get to the draft and if you decide you want to make a trade, you're not taking much time. You've already worked out the scenario. You've worked out all the trade terms. You just have to agree to it. So this is all worked out. So, for instance, you know, you want to know, well, why we haven't heard any rumors. Well, let's say you're the Minnesota Vikings, right, who have already made a trade. That's one of the few trades we've had since the NFL Combine. So if you look at their trade, they want to be positioned. Now they're number 11. They want to be in position. They also have another first-round pick. They want to be in position to trade up if they need to. Now, in my latest mock draft at ProFootballNetwork.com, I've got J.J. McCarthy making it to the Vikings. Mm. Now, I've told people when they've asked me, you know, what's the word around the league on McCarthy? A lot of people I trust think if we all look at this with honest eyes, this guy should be a second-round pick. But because it's the most overvalued position in professional sports, though it's the most important, which is sort of an oxymoron, he's going to go in the first round somewhere. And the reason why the people I trust don't think he should, because based on the game tape, he doesn't do anything that overwhelms you, where you go, wow, that's really good. Being a winner is great, but that doesn't transfer to being able to throw the football. And he's just going to be overvalued. But when there's a saying in the National Football League, guys, when you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're always going to be looking for one. And guess what? The Vikings are looking for one.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the big topic still is Caleb Williams, the number one draft generational talent. Online this week,
I don't agree with that, but go ahead. It's okay.
There's been a lot of discussion online of the expectation that the Bears or Bears fans should have. Is it, in your opinion, playoff or bust in his first year?
Well, it's funny. If you look at the odds, okay, the updated Vegas odds, they have them. Oh, the win total is pretty high for the Bears, considering how bad they've been for a while, at 8.5. And if you like the over, you're going to have to give up -140, which means they clearly believe, or the people betting think it's going to go over 8.5, which means they would have a winning record. So on your point, yeah, maybe they challenge for a wild card. Now, Caleb Williams is very gifted, but let's just put this in proper perspective. As one high-ranking offensive coach told me a couple weeks ago when he was at the Williams work pro-day workout, and he also did a lot of tape workout breakdown on him, he said, look, the kid's gifted, but it's hard to make your money in the National Football League playing his playing style. Mm. When you're always trying to make a big play, you got to throw from the pocket. You got to show you can do that, and it's eventually you got to settle down and make a throw, and throw from within structure. And that to me is something that Shane Waldron, who's the OC with Chicago, that's what he's going to be charged with, to get this guy to just play within himself and not to try to do too much, because he's super gifted, Caleb Williams, but generational talent thrown out too much. It's just people. Once someone says, a lot of people say that. I don't. Based on the people I've spoken with, nobody sees that. They just see a guy's pretty gifted.
The Commanders at number two. Have they decided on their pick? Will it be May? Will it be Daniels? What do you expect to hear at number two?
Yeah, Daniels. Yeah, I've had this for, since mid-January. And the reason is Daniels is the highest graded player right here. In fact, I know of a coach who's got Daniels over Williams on his grading, who graded all the quarterbacks. So Daniels, the only knock on him, and there's nothing he can do about it yet, is his body frame. He needs to put mass on his frame. It's going to take time. And also, be a little bit smarter when he runs. He's taking some salacious hits. You do worry about that. He's got to protect himself better. And by the way, Washington, if it goes like I think it's going to go, they got to continue to build up their offensive line. They don't have a very good offensive line. That's going to be something that they have to kind of rebuild there.
What about the Giants? I think I asked you weeks ago with the Giants about possibly taking a quarterback. You didn't think at the time, but there's maybe rumors that they're going to take a quarterback because there is question marks with Daniel Jones. So how are feeling?
Sure. Well, here's the thing. They can't move Daniel Jones this year because he's coming off on a torn ACL and he has a massive salary, which is fully guaranteed. So no one's going to take it. So their thinking is he's going to start the season, but they could get out of his contract, guys, after the season, not owe him a dime. That's by structure. So you can make the argument that, yeah, could they draft a quarterback? Absolutely. Now, again, it depends on what happens with Drake May. Because you have to remember, Joe Shane, the general manager, was personnel control. He didn't draft Daniel Jones. Now, he did make a decision to extend his contract, but he didn't draft him. So it's fair to put that in there. Now, I'm thinking right now that depending on who drops, the best player on their board should be a receiver. Romo Odunze should be that guy at number six.
Here's what a lot of people don't understand about the draft. It's not necessarily who you take, it's when you take. And that's a big part of this, understanding how the board is working. You're one of the few people, Adam, that have predicted possibly a run on edge guys in this draft, because everyone's focused on the quarterbacks. Obviously, a lot of wide receivers that are expected to go very early, top 10 picks in this draft. But is there still a possibility that a few edge guys could go off the board unexpectedly high, and then all of a sudden panic sets in and people start reaching for edge rushers who obviously have a premium value in this league?
Yeah, Dallas Turner is that guy. Dallas Turner of Alabama should go in the top 10. It's not a great, though, Steve, overall, it's not a great edge rush group. It's just you have to have them. If you don't have it.
Yeah.
Now, I also believe there's going to be an offensive lineman run in the top 20. You could see five or six go off the board there. And by the way, another point for you guys here. Just gathering information, because there are 32 picks that need to be made in the first round, but they're truly, when teams turn their grades in or they set their board, there's truly only anywhere from 12 to 20 players that they have graded, depending on the team, that should go off in their estimation in the first round, who have quote-unquote first-round grades. So this year I've got 14 to 16 is the number. And that's why when you look at it, you go, okay, if I need a starting left tackle, do we have a first-round grade on this guy? Well, great, let's take him now. If we don't, you may want to wait a little bit. It's harder when you're picking in the 20s. That's when you have to decide whether you want to trade up or not, because it's not a great draft overall in high-end talent.
Moving away from the draft, I know we're all getting excited. Earlier this week, we heard Derrick Henry say that he would have loved to go be a Cowboy. That's where he's at. That's where he resides. But they never contacted him. Now, do you think that's more about Derrick Henry coming to the end of his career, or maybe the Cowboys just kind of maybe starting over?
No, they're definitely not starting over. It's just they do need a running back. There's no question about it. They don't have a starting running back right now. And that's certainly a need. In fact, if I had to pick a running back in the second round to go to a team, it would probably be the Cowboys, because they've got the receiver core. Now, the one issue they do have is, you know, they've lost two starting offensive linemen, their left tackle and their center. And that's something they have to kind of look at. That's going to be a need going forward here. But, you know, they're bringing back a lot of their stars. In fact, now they have a cap issue. But they also were they only signed one free agent. That was Eric Kendricks, who the Chargers cut. So they didn't get involved in free agency. They have a very good roster. But I think the Cowboys have to look at it this way. Why in the world did they get blown out at home to the Packers? That shouldn't have happened with a roster so good. And that's why a lot of us thought Mike McCarthy might not be the head coach. And he's brought back now on the final year of his deal. No, they're playing to go deep in the playoffs. Like they're not in any kind of rebuild or not even a retooling.
What did you read into Tom Brady's admission that You know, I'm not ruling out the possibility of a late season return to the NFL. Is this is he just playing around knowing that he's the one guy to get away with that? Or why exactly do you think what his motivation was there?
Well, he should have, we can make the case. He's still playing at a high level, but when you're playing into your mid-40s, people have to ask you, why do you keep playing? Because he loves football. This is one guy, it hasn't left him. And remember, he didn't start his broadcaster career immediately. So there was a delay to it, obviously, with Fox. So it's pretty fascinating that he actually said that was not a hoax. That was actually him. Now, he did also say, which you mentioned, he's part of the ownership group, though he has a minority stake in the Raiders. So he would have to divest himself of it. But it's pretty fascinating. And look, you saw what happened to the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, what they went through at quarterback. You just never know. You saw what Joe Flacco did coming off the couch, playing with his kids, and then he put the team on his back and helped the Browns make the playoffs. But I just think it's interesting, Stephen. It's kind of funny that he did that, and I'm not saying he's trying to cause attention, but so close to the draft doing this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. With the influx of young quarterbacks, and we were just reminded 3 years ago, a draft that had five quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks, three are no longer with the team. The only reason that one quarterback's still there, Zach Wilson, is they can't get rid of the guy.
Yep.
And all these expectations. And then you look at Tom Brady, and you're like, man, that last year in Tampa, he still looked awfully, awfully good. It's unbelievable, folks. We are just 12 days away from the draft. I can't wait for next week, Adam, because I know you're going to have something's going to brew. I feel like this is the week that we're going to get something out there. Like, where did that come from? And of course, the guy that's going to break it all down for us is the man that joins us every single Saturday here on Fox Sports Radio, the great Adam Kaplan. Adam, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys.
That's Adam Kaplan, our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. Let's find out what is trending right now. Look who's hanging out today. Nick Cope is in the building.
It's so nice to be with you guys. It's been a while.
It has.
Well, of course, I always get here early and talk Nick's ear off.
Yes.
You talk everyone's ear off. I just want everyone to know that. It's not Nick. It's not me. Yeah. It's Isaac. You love Isaac.
Yeah. I do. And I've been missing Isaac because I've had a different start time. I'm sure he's relieved. But there was no mercy for Nick because I hadn't seen Nick in a while.
Yeah, everybody here is, I hesitate to use the word victim, but an equal opportunity victim.
Is going to get an earful.
Yeah, it's the first door when you walk into the building.
Right.
So
it's like, why are you here 2 hours before your show? I go, well, I got to talk to Nick.
All right, guys, the third round of the Masters starting to wind down a little bit. Just a few holes left, and just saw Bryson DeChambeau, who's two shots back of the lead. He's on 15. Just took a drink in the pond there around the green. Mm. So DeChambeau is going to tumble down the leaderboard. But there's been a lot of shuffling. Currently, it is Scottie Scheffler at the top. He's at -7, just teeing off on 17. But he had a double and then a bogey early part of the back nine, but he recovered an eagle on 13, a birdie on 15 to get him back in the lead. He's got a one-shot lead on Colin Morikawa, who's been one of the better golfers today. He is -3 for his round, -6 overall for the tournament. Then you've got Homa and DeChambeau currently at -5, although once DeChambeau finishes off the 15th hole, he will drop probably a pair of strokes. Ludvig Åberg also in the mix as well. He is in fifth place at -4. And then you've got a host at -2, including Tommy Fleetwood and Xander Schauffele. But shaping up to be a fun final round on Sunday. In baseball, Braves announced pitcher Spencer Strider had surgery to repair the UCL in his throwing elbow, so he will miss the rest of the season. Finals on the diamond today, Yankees over the Guardians 3-2. That's game one of a doubleheader today in Cleveland. Twins passed the Tigers 11-5. Marlins handled the Braves 5-1. Blue Jays beat the Rockies 5-3. Reds shut out the White Sox 5-0. Royals beat the Mets 11-7. No games in the NBA today. They'll finish the regular season tomorrow, but the Athletic reports former Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer is among the finalists to be the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Guys, back to you.
I don't know why it's taken so long for him to get back in the mix. I'm sorry, didn't he win an NBA championship in Milwaukee?
Yeah. What,
just 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Right?
And all booted sudden, all quickly.
I mean, how'd you go from him to Doc Rivers? I've been all over
question.
Doc for years. The thing about Doc Rivers, people have to understand, and you're like, how does this guy, despite his playoff failures with the Clippers, the Sixers, and of course, as soon as he took over the Bucks, he went on a losing streak. How does he keep getting jobs? And as someone that covered a lot of Clipper basketball when he was there on site at Staples Center, as it was then known, there's a reason. I mean, he is a darling among the media. I mean, most of these coaches, if they're not in a mood, they'll just put you off. You know that, Nick. But that's not Doc. I mean, Doc is out there. But as far as, I mean, this is a guy that has blown more 3-1 series leads than any other coach in the history of the NBA. It's not just losing in the playoffs. He historically loses. So for Budenholzer, who, you know, won a championship, I think he would be an excellent hire moving forward. All right, here we are once again on Fox Sports Saturday. Steve Hartman and Monsi Bolaños. Monsi, there's a couple of stories I want to get to, but one that I wanted to get to immediately is the Shohei Ohtani story.
Of course.
Because this is near and dear to Monsi with her affiliation with the Dodgers organization. So I'm going to admit now that it does appear that he's in the clear.
It does appear.
Because when you look at these text exchanges between this guy running the book and the interpreter, now we're talking $16 million that he stole. But we also look at hundreds of millions of dollars
in bets.
In bets. Hundreds of millions.
Ridiculous.
And he didn't even meet this guy till 2021.
Yeah.
We're talking in 3 years. So okay, I'm going to all go on the record and saying, all right, Ohtani, at least in this situation, was not involved in any kind of gambling.
Correct.
But here's something, and maybe this is a question for his new wife. How is it possible? Because now they actually have evidence that this guy was betting as many as 25 bets every single day.
Yeah.
From $10 to $160,000 for a bet. And he stole all this money out of the account. Let's just talk about the guy placing that many bets. And he's not doing them all. He's doing over a course of a day. That's how a gambler operates, right? Because you're hearing things and everything else. How is it possible that Shohei Ohtani, who's with this guy during the baseball season at least, 24-7 pretty much, has no idea that he has a compulsive gambling habit? How is that possible?
It sounds like it couldn't be possible, but if you think about it, people who are addictive like that find a way to get what they want and do what they want. And this is just aside from gambling. Addiction is a real strong feeling, emotion that's going to overtake you. And so I think here's what happened. I'm taking a guess here that it started off slow. And then once he realized that Shohei Ohtani was not paying attention to the little details, it unraveled even more. Like in the transcripts where he literally says, I'm not good at this, am I? When it came to all of his bets, it's like he got to the point where he was just throwing money at the wall and seeing what was going to stick. He knew he sucked, but he didn't care. And the other transcript that said, well, you know, I'm good for it. Ha ha. Like he thought he was invincible, but I bet you it started slow and he was just, testing the water. And once he got away with a little bit, he got away with more and more and more. It sounds crazy, but you read that he pretended to be Shohei with the banks, that he took off his notifications so whenever he would do something to his main personal account, he wouldn't get that? Like, this was detailed.
Okay, so this is where the wife steps in.
Yeah, now he has a wife.
All right, so now he's married, and if I'm his wife, I'm thinking to myself, because basically the picture that we're getting of Shohei is that he really doesn't care about the money. He's got a ton of money coming in, and, I'm not going to quibble over it. If I'm his wife, because now it's on record that he ignored the fact that millions and millions of dollars were going to disappear from his bank account, And there are people out there who are looking for a sucker that are a lot smarter than this interpreter. And if they find that, wow, if it was this easy for this guy to pilfer millions and millions of dollars out of Shohei Ohtani's bank account, imagine what we could do being really smart in how we can get at that money if he's really not paying attention.
Okay, so the people who think that, no, you're ridiculous. That's not how this went down. I have read other interpreters that have worked in sports that when they come with somebody, they basically start from scratch. They open their accounts for them. So this started from the beginning, and that's how he had access from the very beginning. So it's not like that he was a mastermind. It's just that he realized, oh, okay, if I'm going to basically create essentially Shohei Ohtani from scratch in the U.S., and I have my fingers on all of the details of his accounts and his life and whatever, he realized he's not paying attention. And maybe
why would an interpreter have that kind of access? What's the idea? An interpreter is just somebody that stands next to you to interpret. And the other thing I don't understand about this, everyone keeps telling me that Shohei can speak English.
I mean, I think he can, but I think it is different. As somebody who speaks Spanish, it is different. Translation is different. Understanding the culture is different. Like, if I say something to you in English and I tell you to put it in Google Spanish, it's not the same. It is not the same. There is different. And with culture, it changes.
We're not talking about nuclear codes here. It's like you're talking to reporters after the game, like, what pitch did you hit? Or, I mean, it's not like it's, life and death stuff. I mean,
it's like a security blanket.
But, I mean, he's not going to say anything of any controversy.
But think it's really like a security blanket. And, of course, you don't understand. You don't need an interpreter. You're not in a different country.
Why does he still have an interpreter if all you're asking is, what kind of pitch did you hit for that home run? Fastball, breaking stuff, slider, what'd you hit? I mean, we're not talking about some kind of guy that's got to be careful with his words because he may leak out some kind of a nuclear code. I mean, it just baffles me. But I'm telling you, now the rep on him is, okay, maybe he's clear of any guilt in terms of any personal involvement in gambling. But boy, it's like, if he is this naive to have this going on of someone that was at his side constantly, maybe he's a guy that we could take advantage of. There are just a lot of bad people out there just looking for targets.
I will agree with you that it does raise questions on how naive maybe he was, right? I agree with you. But back to the interpreter, not just a security blanket. What if he just wants to keep that around as a barrier between the media and the sport? I'm not saying it's right, but what if that is just the barrier that he gets to keep?
Monsi, I've tell you this. There, over the years, and I covered a lot of baseball, Major League Baseball clubhouses over the years, guys that did not need interpreters, they kept the media away by just not talking. That's all. I mean, it was very simple. I'm going to list them all, but there were some great superstar players back in the day that just made it clear, do not ask. I will not answer your questions. Yeah. So don't even bother.
And then those people are disliked. You of just course. Mentioned Doc Rivers, you know, and how charming he is with the media.
Right.
So that maybe instead of being that guy that doesn't talk to the media, like Anthony Rendon for the Angels, the media doesn't like him. And he has a terrible reputation right now. Maybe Shohei didn't want that, and it's just a barrier to have there.
All right. The bottom line is, it looks like he's in the clear, which is
good. That is the bottom line.
Which is good for Ohtani, good for the Dodgers, more importantly, good for Major League Baseball. Coming up on the other side, the passing of a legend. For those of my generation, there were two O.J. Simpsons. I'll explain. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We are live from the TireRack.com studios. All right, we're doing the final couple holes here at the Masters, third round. Morikawa had a great day today.
Yeah.
He is putting out at 18 right now. I just watched this, and he makes his putt. So Morikawa gets 69 today, 300 par. That's a hell of a round when everyone else is struggling.
Slow
he
and steady.
Currently has a tie of the lead with Scottie Scheffler, who's coming to the 18th right now. All right, I want to talk about OJ for a second here.
I guess.
Now, I understand that if you're under the age of 40, maybe even if you're under the age of 50, you know OJ for only one thing, and that he killed two people.
Right.
Which he did.
And try to steal his Heisman Trophy?
Well, I mean, the fact is he killed two people.
Right.
That's never been in question.
Mm-mm.
And, but it's a little different for me. And the reason being is, one, I'm old enough to remember when OJ was at USC, when I first really started following sports. I was 9 years old his first year at USC. My dad went to USC. I became a USC football fanatic, even though I ended up going to UCLA. And OJ was literally one of my first great sports heroes, and I followed his entire NFL career, and he was that great. I mean, he was a superstar. And he transitioned as an African-American athlete. He was the first that actually sort of crossed over as a movie actor, as a pitch guy. He was, I can't overstate the star power of OJ Simpson. And then when I worked for the LA Raiders in the 80s, I saw OJ all the time. Mike Ornstein, who was our marketing director, worked with OJ, so he was sort of part of OJ's circle. And then Marcus Allen was a dear friend. He knew a lot of the Raider players. I saw OJ all the time, even in the early 90s, before the murders. I did my radio show for the legendary 690 in the Santa Monica area. And it was in a sort of a mall area. There was a movie theater. I'd see OJ walking in all the time. But let me make it clear. The day of the murders, when the bodies were found very early that morning, and remember, there's no internet in those days or anything else. My partner at the time, Chet Forty, was the legendary director of Monday Night Football, had directed OJ when he was part of the broadcast. And I walked in. He goes, "Did you hear about Nicole Simpson?" I said, "No, what happened to Nicole?" "She's dead." I go, "Nicole is dead? What happened?" "I don't know. She and some guy were murdered." I go, "Where?" "Apparently at their Brentwood place." I go, "Where's OJ?" And he looked at me and he goes, "Well, you know, he did it." Now, this is long before, you know, first it came out, he went to Chicago and he's obviously. And so for someone like me and this whole OJ scenario ever since then, for people of my generation that were fans of OJ, the football player, I've always been able to separate the two. There was OJ, the football player, and then there's OJ, the double murderer.
I mean, obviously, I don't understand that because I only know him as a terrible person. That's right. All I've ever heard. That's my entire life. He's a terrible person. I don't understand it, but I maybe one at one point in my life, I'm going to come to a situation like that where I'll be able to separate. Clearly, you had a relationship that is different than the rest of the people who are watching through a TV lens who OJ Simpson was.
Right.
And the stuff that I saw, like, from, he seemed charming. Am I right about that?
Oh, he's a sociopath.
Yeah, like he that's a good way to put it. Old videos of him,
he
seemed charming. Yeah.
He could always be charming. But there were a lot of warning signs about OJ even before he went to USC. There was a reason why this guy was in a junior college for 2 years, even though he had this supreme talent, and none of these schools would touch this guy. He had a bad reputation in high school.
And
so he was a bad guy, but he was a guy that knew how to turn it on for the cameras. And when he had to turn off, a complete sociopath.
And hearing all this, it just even like annoys me more. So there were red flags all the time, and yet he got away with it. How annoying. How annoying.
Well, you remember the infamous photos of her beaten face and everything?
Yes.
And he pled no contest. I remember when that happened. It didn't get out in the news because there was no social media in those days. But we are well aware of the situation, and it was obviously a horrific tragedy and two people losing their lives. Now we got the situation where those that are left behind after his death are trying to protect his estate from the Goldman family and the Brown family. It's a terrible story, but yeah.
What a terrible
for some of us,
human.
We can remember. All right, a lot more coming up. This is Fox Sports Saturday. Rolling along here on a very busy Sports Saturday, Fox Sports Saturday. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. We're going to help get you there in unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. All right, so one final pair out there, Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau is, the wheels have fallen off for DeChambeau.
A little bit.
Homa is still a mix right now, two shots back, but Scotty Scheffler, as you heard from Nick Cope, with the one-shot lead over Morikawa. So unless, even if Homa were to birdie 18 and tie Morikawa, Morikawa is in the clubhouse first. So the final pairing tomorrow will be Scotty Scheffler and Morikawa. So Colin Morikawa, who already has won an Open Championship and a PGA Championship. If he has the Masters, that's three of the four. Remember, there's only five golfers ever to win all four majors over the course of their career. Once again, Rory McIlroy falling short this year. It didn't happen for him. He just needs the Masters. But Morikawa, wow.
Yeah.
He might be right in the mix.
And he came out of nowhere because day one and two, he was kind of just slow and steady. But that's what you hear. That's who wins the race.
Yeah, he actually broke 70 today. There hasn't been much the last because of the winds and everything else.
Yeah.
Scoring has been difficult the last couple of days. So it's been fun. It's going to be great tomorrow with the final round of the Masters. I want to ask you something. So I saw the chairman of the Masters was addressing members of the media. And Christine Brennan of USA Today asked him a question. And she's been a big champion for women's sports. And she asked him a question saying, all right, so obviously Caitlin Clark, and by the way, congratulations, the women's championship game got millions more viewers than the men's championship game, which obviously has never happened before. It really wasn't even close. The good news for the men, they actually had higher ratings than they had a year ago, more eyeballs, but not nearly enough to match as many eyeballs as were on that final game between South Carolina and LSU and Iowa.
Let's just also agree, but let's just also point out that the women's game was on national television while the men's game was on cable. I don't know why. It was TBS and I think TNT or something. Why? Why would it? I don't understand how both games weren't national. Not saying that the women wouldn't have had
higher. I'll tell you why. Because they offered more money to carry the final four.
Well, I guess you're right about that. It's all about money. Yes. But it seems silly. You know what I'm saying? To not have that national championship on a national
network. Look, there was way more interest.
There was. 100%.
And I still think the championship game than the men's championship.
100%. Don't disagree.
So Christine Brennan asked a question of the chairman of the Masters. Nelly Korda. You don't know her, obviously. Nelly Korda is a golfer on the LPGA Tour. She has won four straight tournaments.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
This hasn't happened in like 16 years. And she's an American golfer. And if you have never seen Nelly Korda, and this is part of it when it comes to female athletes, fair or not. Sometimes it's about appearance on top of everything else.
I'm looking her up.
And Nelly Korda seems to check every box in terms of being someone that could be a female superstar. And so she asked him, why do you believe that Caitlin Clark is getting all this attention and Nelly Korda is not?
That's an easy answer.
Well, what was it ultimately, in your opinion? There have been a lot of great female basketball players over the years. Names that we know. But we have never, ever, ever seen a single player in women's basketball by her mere presence on the court generating those kind of numbers in terms of people watching. Ever. No one is close. This is Tiger Woods. This is Michael Jordan. We're talking about individuals whose mere presence raises the bar so significantly it cannot be ignored. Why Caitlin Clark?
So I think that is a loaded question, and it's not one answer. But specifically to answer the first one, why Nelly Korda is not getting the attention, that will start basic because of the sport. Golf doesn't have as much attention as basketball. So that's a big one between these two ladies.
But it did with Tiger Woods.
But a man in golf, it's different, right? Okay, but the sport itself, you could still argue, Tiger Woods, everyone knows that name. Now, if we go talk to somebody who's not even like a casual golf fan, they might not know any other name. They might just know Tiger Woods, maybe Phil Mickelson, but the sport of golf doesn't have as much attention as all the other sports. But with Caitlin Clark, again, a loaded question, and I think there's a couple of reasons. I think social media is a big part of it, because you start hearing a name, Caitlin Clark. Okay, let me look it up. And then you see her taking a three from the logo, then another three from the logo. All of a sudden, you're interested in this girl. So I think social media and the access to see how flashy she is shooting from the logo from the future, I think that's a big part of it. I also think she seems like your friend next door, the girl next door. At Iowa, if anyone had any interest in Caitlin Clark hearing her name and you start to dive deep into her, you're going to be a little bit interested in her because she stayed at Iowa. She didn't go join a powerhouse school. She looks like she could be your friend. She seems relatable. But social media, I think, is the big reason that she kind of catapulted. It's because people were, you could see her skill set right away. Like, if you saw a highlight reel of Caitlin Clark, it's so fun. It's not her, like, laying up, doing layups. It's not her backing in. It's her doing the flashiest of shots like Steph Curry. She just is appealing to the eye in the way she plays, but easily accessible because of the way social media is now.
Well, the Masters chairman, Fred Ridley, answer to the question was along these lines. So, you know, he acknowledged that Nelly Korda is doing something very historic, yeah. and maybe down the road, he said, I'd love to see happen for her what happened to Caitlin Clark. He goes, but I'm going to make an admission to you. It's not like I watch a lot of women's basketball, but I watched those last three games.
Yeah.
I was part of the 12 million, 14 million, 18 million eyeballs watching. Because everyone's like, even if you never watch a single women's basket, you've got to see this Caitlin Clark. And he said, I was like everyone else. I got caught up and she delivered. And so, I mean, I was one of those. And there is no explaining it other than you hope it happens to your sport.
Yes. And I think another thing that helped Caitlin Clark was the storylines around her, like South Carolina being undefeated but losing to them last year.
And LSU.
And then
obviously.
LSU with Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese. It was like all of these storylines went back to Caitlin Clark. It wasn't, you know, they didn't stand alone. They were still attached to her. So that's why it's such a loaded question. It's not one answer. It's many things.
It's a perfect storm.
It was a perfect storm for her. And it all happened in a matter of 2 years.
All right, so where do we go with this? Now, I don't know if you remember Lynn Sanity.
Yes, of course.
I was actually in New York at the end of that year covering the Stanley Cup final between the LA Kings and the New Jersey Devils. But obviously, we're not in Newark. We're hanging out in New York City. And Lynn Sanity lasted for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean,
awesome.
He's on the cover of every magazine known to man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically
ride.
What happened was, you know, Melo was out with an injury and this guy
lit it up.
Captured. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was exactly that Lynn Sanity. I remember I went into the big NBA store there in New York and I contacted my younger son, Garrett, who's a huge NBA fan. And I asked him, look, I'm going to get you a jersey here. Do you want the Lynn Sanity or do you want the Melo? And he goes, Dad, Lynn Sanity's over. Give me Melo. And he still has that jersey. But again, there's no explaining this.
No.
There's got to be something about you that not only is different, but
relatable,
exactly. And it happened, you know, that Lynn said that was just 2 weeks, but it was incredible. It was like through, but and it stayed with him, you know, for a while, and even, you know, beyond that.
Right.
Tim Tebow. I remember this when he was with the Denver Broncos and they got on that run to get into the playoffs. Now, I was doing the national radio show Monday through Friday here at Fox Sports Radio. And I can tell you this, the controversy with his hand on the chin, you know, the Tebowing, SNL was having fun with it and everything else. In all my years, and I've seen pretty much everything, right? There has never been that kind of response. Our phone lines were jammed the second we got in. We haven't even opened the show yet. You don't even know what we're going to talk about. Everybody wanted to talk about this. Was like that run that he had with the Denver Broncos, got him into the playoffs, pulled the upset win against the Steelers. It was all Tebow all the time.
Yeah.
That's all people wanted. And then and he had been a big star, obviously, at Florida, but nothing compared to that one brief run. So, I mean, it's hard to explain the Caitlin Clark situation. The only question I have going forward is it going to be like Linsanity? Is it going to be like the Tebow thing
was? Like it's going to die down.
Like it's going to just disappear, and then, you know, she just becomes another all-star level player in the WNBA, or is it actually going to, and I know they're hoping, that will take that league and take it to the next level?
I don't think it's going to disappear. I think she really is going to take the hype and momentum with her to the league. The WNBA was already gaining more attention. I went to a Las Vegas Aces game, Steve. I thought I was going to go into a game and it was going to be like half empty and I was going to be able to like yell at Candace Parker that I love her. I legit thought, right? I walked in to a sold out arena where the fans had like chants. Like, it's like, oh, you're a real fan. You didn't just come to this one game like I did. It was already slowly happening. Now, again, the WNBA, one of the things I think has lacked are storylines. You know, in the NBA, even the basic of like, oh, Dylan Brooks, what is he going to do the next time he plays against LeBron James? We know that something always happens. So, Caitlin Clark has, again, these other storylines surrounding her that are going to help the momentum keep going. Angel Reese declaring for the WNBA draft, that is great.
Okay, and another thing that you need in sports.
Rivalries. Yes, exactly.
Whether it's an individual rivalry or team rivalry, you need rivalries. Bird magic doesn't happen without each other.
No, and I mentioned that as
that
a comparison.
Took the NBA to the stratosphere at a time when it hit rock bottom.
Exactly. So see, it's not just Caitlin Clark going. There's a lot of other storylines going with her. Camila Cardoso from the
But you mentioned
South Carolina.
Angel Reese has still the biggest social media following of any female basketball player.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
She still has way more followers if you combine her X account and her Instagram than Caitlin Clark has.
Yes. And it's because people like drama, right?
Right.
People like drama. And so this drama is a good thing. And then I saw a mock draft that Angel Reese could end up with the Liberty. If she ends up with the Liberty with Sabrina Ionescu, that is a perfect storm. Another one.
Well, what worked out incredibly for Bird Magic is you already had a rivalry between the Lakers-Celtics.
Exactly.
So not only did you revive what was once a great rivalry, but you did it with the two best players in the league, and everything just took it from there. But the rivalry aspect of this is critical. She can't stand alone.
No,
she needs a rival.
Yep.
Angel Reese is the obvious one.
Exactly. And even, you know, we didn't pay as much attention, but Cameron Brink from Stanford, she's got grit. She's got an attitude that can
become
some.
Paige Beckers, I mean, there are a lot of great young ladies coming out into the WNBA. But to me, the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark rivalry
is huge.
Has got to materialize. And the only way that's going to materialize is if they're on championship level teams. You got to do it on the biggest stage.
Yep.
Lakers, Celtics, Bird Magic doesn't happen unless they're facing each other multiple times in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but you already saw that the Indiana Fever's games, like 90% of them are going to be nationally televised now.
Well, I mean, this is going to be the test.
This is going to
be
I'm wondering,
is it going to be Linsanity? Is
no,
it going to be something
gonna be
like that?
It's going to be longer than that. No.
Or is it going to be something far more significant? All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to get back a little bit to the question of this golf tournament going on, the Masters. Is this an outdated tradition?
No.
All right, I'm gonna give. I think I have some different perspective than a lot of people might think we have on this Masters golf tournament. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Hartman and Monsi Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We're coming live from the TireRack.com studios. Now, don't forget, right after the show, our podcast is going up. If you miss any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow, rate, and review the podcast. Again, just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll see the show posted right after we get off the air. By the way, Mary Mack, who is on the board, and she now officially is 21 years old.
She is, and I love that she played this song while you read a promo.
Yeah.
It's just so perfect.
It was definitely like a last minute thing.
I love this jam. I love it. Do you know who this is, Steve?
I have no idea.
This is Jay-Z and Pharrell.
Yes.
What?
Oh, and Pharrell?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know who Pharrell is and I know Jay-Z is. I just don't know this song.
Yes.
No way.
It's a banger. Yes, yeah. It is.
This is a banger.
OG. Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you for bringing me up to date. I desperately need that.
Of course.
As you know, I'm left in the dust on this.
My youngest
is also had her birthday the day after Mary Mack had her birthday. She's 2 years older. You're 21 now. Very quickly, I talked to you beforehand. You admitted that you had a shot and a half on your birthday.
Shot and a half. I got scared and then I didn't want to take the other shot.
Yeah. Good for you.
Especially you did a half shot.
That's responsible. That's not what I did when I turned 21.
I also had work the next day. So I was like, you know what? Let me just
Very responsible.
However, the next day you did go out.
I went out a couple days before. And I did have a drink, and it was
really great. All right, well,
so,
it's okay. Well,
I enjoyed it.
You're of age. Well, congratulations, Mary Mack. A belated happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Now I want to get to this golf tournament known as the Masters. And again, I'm one of the things that's drawn me to sports through all these years and continues to draw me to sports is the history of sports.
Okay.
And yes, I'm like, you know, Rain Man and historian and everything else.
Yeah.
I get all that. But it never ceases to, I find interest in all of it. And the thing, I guess, what separates me from a lot of people, they seem to focus on a sport where I'm across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And golf is one of my favorite sports to follow the history of this game. And the Masters, obviously, is a big part of it. Let me ask you this from a different generation. Are you into the Masters?
I am. I like the Masters. I think it's one that I will pay more attention to than other tours that happen throughout the year.
All right, so in your opinion, I'll ask you this question. Is the Masters overrated?
Absolutely not. I am not Jason Fitz. Jason Fitz said this a couple of days ago. He was filling in for Doug Gottlieb, and he said it was overrated, and I was like, you are crazy. you're crazy. And I understand. He was like, you're just going to sit there 4 hours and just watch. And I was like, you don't have to watch the whole thing. But yeah, I'm going to have it on in the background. I'm going to check in when there's a golfer I like. Maybe it's just nice to tune in and out of. And he's like, well, so an opera, you're going to sit through an opera for 3-4 hours? I was like, no, because it's not a competition. This is a competition. Somebody is going to come out the winner. But he said it was the most overrated event.
Okay.
Jason Fitz.
I did not know that Jason said that. And I've heard Jason, obviously. We haven't really, you know, spent any time together, but I'll try to explain this from a golfer's perspective.
Please do.
Because I understand if you're not into golf at all, if you have no background watching golf, playing golf, golf is a complete non-entity in your life, then I get it. You say it's overrated because it's overrated to you because you're not going to watch it anyway. Let me explain why it's not overrated. Because I've had a number of conversations with golfers. I've covered a lot of golf over the years, and I've known some of the great legends of golf. One of them was a guy named Billy Casper. He was a great player during the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He's in the Golf Hall of Fame, and he won 2 U.S. Opens, but he won the Masters in 1970. And he was out of San Diego. A wonderful man. He passed away several years ago. But I remember sitting with him thinking, you know, he had this great career and everything else. He won U.S. Opens. What's so special about winning the Masters? He says, just stop right there. I said, what? I go, what is, I mean, give me, from a golfer's perspective, he goes, if golf is your life, which obviously if you've committed your livelihood to playing the game of golf, that is your life. You're hitting thousands of golf balls over and over and over again. And you've been doing this since a young age. And you hear the term like golf nirvana. And it's like, well, what is that? He goes, let me tell you something. Knowing that I won the Masters, I would be able to go back to Augusta every year from that point on for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't playing, I can attend that champion's dinner. But he goes, when you're going down Magnolia Lane and you're a golfer, you are literally going into a dream world. Everything about the Masters is perfect. Now, that doesn't mean there haven't been problems in its background with race and a lot of these other things. But just in terms of the setup for a golfer, the golf course is perfect. Because it's a risk reward. Like you can take a risk and get a great reward or take a risk and lose it. And we see this happen year after year after year. But he goes, it's amplifying everything that a golfer has been drawn to this sport is about. And a big part of that is tradition. Not only embracing tradition, but hyping tradition. And you get caught up into it. So suddenly I'm out there playing. I'm playing where Ben Hogan played. I play where Sam Snead or the great predecessors back in the day. Bobby Jones, obviously the co-founder of the tournament. Let me ask you this, Monsi, because that to me is the big part of this, along with many others, whether it's the Indianapolis 500 or great sporting events that have been around a long time. Do you believe that tradition really matters anymore in sports?
Of course it does.
I mean, we are talking rivalries, but how about tradition?
I mean, maybe I'm old school, but yes, traditions matter, and I wish there were more of them. And I'm a casual golf fan, very casual. I'm like you. I kind of pay attention to all the sports. Yes, I have my favorites, but I can sit down and NASCAR, golf, tennis, I'll watch it. I'm into it. And one of the things with golf as a casual, all I hear about the Masters and Augusta is that it's perfect. That's all I've ever heard. That green jacket, I want the green jacket. I would love to wear that. I would love to go to the champions dinner. I like that if you win, like you mentioned, you're invited back every year. I love all of those traditions. And again, I'm a casual fan of golf. I've also tried to golf. It is hard. It is not an easy thing to do. Having tried it myself, I think helped me appreciate it even more. And whenever I see Tiger Woods, you know, I'm like, man, I have golfed a very little and I am so sore the next day in places I didn't know I could be sore. It is a tough, tough sport. And hitting that stupid little ball in the right way is the most satisfying feeling ever. When I have successfully hit a golf ball, I am just like, I'm the man. Not even just the, I am the woman, I am the man. I feel amazing. So I don't know if that's part of it too, that as somebody who likes to also try different sports, I appreciate it because I know how difficult it is.
I'll put it this way. You talk about tradition. There are currently 35 living Masters champions. 33 of the 35 were at that champions dinner. 15 of them are not playing. They were just there for the dinner. The two that were not there, Angel Cabrera is still in prison in Argentina for a domestic assault situation. And then Sandy Lyle, who played his last Masters, he finally announced a year ago, and his wife had taken ill. She insisted he should go, and he said, no, I'm going to be here with my wife. All of them were there. They make the trip to Augusta National, even though half of them are only there to be at the champions' dinner. Not even playing.
Yeah, it's an honor. It is an honor.
So that is the kind of tradition in their sport. If you're a golfer, that supersedes everything else. And that's why the Masters matters. If you don't like golf, I get it.
Right.
But if you even have a casual interest in golf, you know what we're saying. The Masters is a must on your calendar. Let's find out what is trending right now. So, Nick Cope, are you a golf fan?
Yeah, I'm a casual golf fan. I'll pay attention to the majors and then, you know, the Players and maybe some of the other ones, especially out west here, you know, they come to Riviera. I'll pay attention to
those. So you've been watching the Masters since you were young, I would imagine?
I probably got into it more college age.
College age,
so
right.
I feel like a few years ago, I really started to, you know, okay, oh, they're on 15 now. We got the pond
right,
in front
right,
of the, you know.
Right.
You, really
you know that.
To,
you know the back nine.
Yes, yeah.
Everyone knows the back nine.
Everyone
knows,
yeah, you got the back the nine figured out.
The most famous par three in the world, the 12th hole. You got the par five, 13th, par five, 15th, the water hole, par three, 16th.
I still remember where I was, Tiger on 16. What was that, 2005?
Yep.
And Vern's great call. I remember where I was for that.
You know what's amazing about that? That gave him a two-shot lead. He bogeyed the next two holes and ended up in a playoff against Chris DeMarco. Beat him in the playoff, but I mean, people forget after rolling in that insane putt at 16, he had a two-shot lead with two holes to play and then bogey to force a playoff.
So he needed, yeah.
But
he needed
no one remembers
it.
That.
One of the things that I think connects people with golf too is, and I think is interesting as you talk about Augusta, so many of the golf courses you can play on. You can compare yourself, but Augusta, for the vast majority of people, is not one of those courses, but it still draws everybody
but
in.
But you know the course.
Yes.
If you've been watching for any amount of time, you know that course.
And I've talked to, they actually have this
for the media people. My friend Sam Farmer, longtime writer with the LA Times, they have like a lottery drawing. And if you win the lottery ticket, you get to play a round at Augusta.
Wow.
As a media member. And Sam Farmer, he said his number was called. He couldn't believe it. And then he gets out there and he played a little golf. So it's like, you know, he could play. And then he like pulled a hamstring while he was playing. And it's a hard course to walk because there's undulations all over the course and everything else. But I said, well, what was it like? I mean, you're teeing off at Augusta National. He goes, it's surreal.
Yeah.
Because he had been there several times covering the tournament, and then all of a sudden, you're actually, yeah. You know, there's no gallery, but I mean, you get a little shaky because this is free.
Yeah.
It's Augusta.
And I bet that hamstring injury was worth it.
Yeah, well, it was disappointing. It sort of cut short his round. But
I grew up a tennis guy, so I imagine it's a lot of the same.
So Wimbledon. I mean, Wimbledon is the same.
Same vibe. Yeah. Same, yeah.
Yeah. You see that grass? How's your grass game?
I've never got to play on grass.
Does that seem weird to you?
It does. I mean, everything I've
heard is
that
used to always be on grass. I mean,
yeah, back in the day.
Way back in the day, yeah.
There's grass courts out in the Palm Springs area, and I just need to figure out a way.
I don't know what it is about that green. You know, Wimbledon green along with the purple, very dominant color, green. I don't know. To me, it has a great appeal.
White just popping.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great stuff. All right. So you're a tradition guy, too. You like some tradition.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And we've got our final pairing now for the final round tomorrow. Scottie Scheffler is your leader at 7-under. He shot 71 today. He's got a one-shot lead on Colin Morikawa, who had one of the better rounds of any golfer. Morikawa, -3 today, shot 69. He is at -6, so that's your pairing, your final pairing. Max Homa, 2 shots back at 5-under. He shot 73 today. Ludvig Åberg, he is 3 shots back. And then Bryson DeChambeau, 4 shots back. DeChambeau, a 75 today. He was able to hole out from, I don't know, 100 yards to make birdie on 18 to get him back within striking distance. Xander Schauffele, part of a group of 3 golfers at 2-under. So those are the guys to keep an eye on as we head to the final round tomorrow. Tiger Woods, tough day for him. 82. He shot 10 over, now plus 11 for the tournament. Baseball news, the Braves announced pitcher Spencer Strider had surgery to repair the UCL in his throwing elbow. He will miss the rest of the season. Some finals today. The Yankees beat the Guardians 3-2. New York now 11-3. That was game one of a doubleheader. Game two currently going on. The Yankees blowing them out 8-1 in the fifth inning. Some other finals. Twins over the Tigers 11-5 in 12 innings. Nats beat the A's 3-1. Brewers are now 10-3. They handled the Orioles 11-5. Phillies edged the Pirates 4-3. Astros got a 9-2 win over the Rangers. Royals over the Mets 11-7. No games in the NBA today. They'll finish the regular season tomorrow, but it will not feature Victor Wembanyama. Spurs said he will not play tomorrow against the Pistons, so his rookie year is done. The Athletic says that former Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer is among the finalists to be the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Finally, guys, in the NHL, all the reports about the Coyotes packing up and leaving Arizona for Salt Lake City. Owner Alex Morello put out a statement today that basically said, there's a lot going on, things still unresolved, I'll address everything when I can't. So
Didn't memos go out to the players that said that this is happening next year, that they're moving to Utah?
And now Morello probably doesn't want to put the cart before the horse publicly, but I guess is trying to put some sort of public message out there. But yeah, he says he'll address and answer everything when he can. So I guess that's when the Smiths sign on the dotted line, perhaps.
The Coyotes they've been mismanaged almost from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's one of those franchises that's been cursed with subpar management over the years.
I mean, hockey should be able to work in Arizona. There's a huge youth base there.
Yeah.
Tons of guys go.
Well, I mean, when Gretzky was attached to the organization, obviously had some appeal. But, it's like any other sport. I mean, it starts at the top. If you got good management, then you can be successful. And the Coyotes, unfortunately, have not had that.
By the way, we do have the Frozen Four, the national championship for college men's hockey is going on. Denver up 2-0 on Boston College going to the third period. The Pioneers going for their record 10th NCAA title.
Remind me again, I know you do a lot of stuff at UCLA. How many hockey titles has UCLA won over the years?
They got zero.
Zero.
But you know where I went to school, Steve?
Yes.
Boston University.
And how many?
They got 4 or 5.
Really?
They got a number
Boston
of them.
U, wow.
Boston University. They
Makes
should be
sense.
In this game.
Yeah.
Very poor officiating in the semifinal against Denver. Back to you guys.
All right, Nick. Great stuff as always. Once again, we're coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios.
We are. Masters still going on. And you know what, Steve? I got a question for you. And it's related to the Masters because Scottie Scheffler's wife is pregnant, expecting their very first child. She is due at the end of the month. And he says, if she calls, I'm leaving. And I don't understand that at all. Now, you're a father of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, let's use the Masters. You're at the Masters.
Okay.
Your wife's pregnant, but you're in the lead. You are at the top of the leaderboard. Denise calls you, says, I'm in labor. What does Steve Hartman do?
Well, actually, this almost happened in golf before with Phil Mickelson. So in 1999, he's in the final pairing with the late, great Payne Stewart.
Okay.
And his wife, now I hear Scottie Scheffler's wife is maybe a couple weeks away, but
it's
things can happen.
It's the end of April, yes.
Right. But literally with Phil Mickelson, who had not won a major at that point, it was any day. And he said the exact same thing. He was within a shot with a hole to play, and then Payne Stewart rolls in this birdie putt to win. But they could have tied. The baby was born the next day. They would have had an 18-hole playoff. And Mickelson, had he done what he said, would have opted out of the playoff. To be with his wife for the birth. Look, I'm going to speak to the millions and millions and millions of fathers out there. Sometimes you feel like you're the only person, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're reminded this happens, you know.
All the time, yes.
All the time. And obviously, I was there for the birth of all three of my children. But anyone that has experienced it for the first time, it's an out-of-body experience. It really is. I mean, you cannot... You prepare for it, and nothing prepares you for it. So I believe, Scotty, 100%, that if he's in the middle of his round tomorrow, and he's got like a 2-shot lead. Now, see, this is where it gets tricky, right? So you're in the final round, and let's say he's got like a 2 or 3-shot lead, and they're at the turn. And the word comes down that your wife has gone into labor now. Are you going to walk off the course and do a WD with a 3-shot lead with 9 holes to play at the Masters? Now, if he does that, you talk about phenomenons, Scottie Scheffler will be on the cover of every magazine on the planet. Literally.
It would be a huge story.
Right?
And it would be like, what do you do? I don't have kids, but if... Because this isn't like a, this is the Masters. This is like game 7 of the World Series.
This story
game 7
would
of
go,
the NBA Finals.
This story would go so far beyond sports.
It
would be the lead of every news
Everywhere.
Story in America that a golfer, even if you don't follow golf, this guy had a 3-shot lead with 9 holes to play, walked away, withdrew from the tournament to be with his wife as they deliver their first child. Now, and the arguments back and forth would go on forever.
Yeah, see, because I, like, think about it, and I'm like, I don't know. If I was pregnant and, like, the boyfriend Sean was at the Masters, I'd be like, just finish it out, babe. Go win. I'll see you at home. But I don't know if it's just because I don't have kids. You know what I mean? And I have seen my best friend give birth. I was there, and yeah. I saw it happen, and it is crazy. Yeah. But, you know, like, this is just... This isn't just a normal, you know, a tournament. This isn't like game 1 of
right.
the final. You know, like
this is the Masters.
This is the Masters. And I'm like, I can't. But I also said, well, it's because it's kid 1. Because if it was kid 2, 3, 4, 5, he'd be like, I'm good. I'm going to
So when
stay.
My daughter was born, my third one, it was the weekend of the Long Beach Grand Prix, which I was affiliated
yes,
with
yes.
the celebrity race for 22 years. And actually, at the insistence of Denise, she said, get out of here. You need to go. And they had said to me, look, because they had, I've been with them for years. They had met all my kids as babies. And like, you know, you could take the year off, Steve. Don't worry.
We're good.
She was like, no way. Get out of here. So the day after my daughter was born, I left behind. Goodbye.
Bye.
Went to Long Beach for
yeah,
3 days.
I mean, and then I think about like the kid, right? Like if the kid gets older or when the kid gets older and finds out, the kid's probably be like, Dad, you should have stayed at the Masters.
I know. I guess it's to each his own, but Scheffler's made it clear, so that would be wild. Doesn't expect it because she's still a couple of weeks away, but everyone knows the baby will show up when the baby wants to show
exactly.
up. All right, on the other side, we'll put a wrap on this and get ready for another big, busy day in sports. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We're coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. Want to thank our entire crew today. Nick, was tremendous on updates today.
Always.
A traditionalist. It was good to see Nick again. And of course, Patrick is our esteemed producer. You feel like, Patrick, you've gained a lot with your association with this show over these next, you know, months now.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking the one and only Cannon Hartman himself.
Wow.
And Monsi Bolaños.
Thank you. Is that your impersonation of Steve saying my name?
Well, Patrick shared with me that his dad, see, I get a lot of this, like his dad listened to me back in the day. Is that right?
Of course.
He does. He still does actually listen to you.
Yeah, very good. Well, what's your dad's name?
My dad's name is Robert.
Robert, thank you so much for your support over the years. This canon really appreciates it. Thank you very much.
That's precious.
And then, of course, we have Mary Mack, who is now 21 years old. Big plans for your 21st year on this planet, Mary Mack, I would imagine.
I feel like I'm doing pretty good for 21.
I think you're doing way ahead of the game where I was at 21. That's
for sure.
Yeah, for
real. So,
yeah, no question about that. Well, again, a belated happy birthday to you, Mary Mack. And all right. We're going to get Masters tomorrow. Of course, as you know, on Sundays, I'll be back here with Rich and Monsi. And
I'll be here.
We'll be watching the final round tomorrow. And by the time we get off at 2 o'clock West Coast time, they'll be coming down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll have an idea of how it's going to go, definitely. Yeah. And then we also have NBA tomorrow, Steve. There's so much riding on these games.
There are so many different playoff scenarios. I mean, outside of the Celtics being the one seed in the East, that's it. That is literally like the only thing that we know in either conference.
The first time in NBA history, there's a three-way tie for the lead in the Western Conference.
With one game to go.
One game.
I mentioned three teams. I said it was four. It's actually three. Miami's actually a game back, but they still have a chance. Currently the eighth seed, where they could get up to the sixth seed and miss the play-in. The play-in hasn't been decided between the six and seven spot between New Orleans, who plays the Lakers. I mean, that game tomorrow between the Pelicans and Lakers, Pelicans need to win to guarantee avoiding the play-in, because if they lose and the Suns win, then all of a sudden New Orleans, by the way, would be having a rematch with the Lakers in the play-in game immediately.
That would be good.
Now, the Lakers get the 8th spot if they beat the Pelicans, and they would play the Pelicans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
unless
messy.
The Suns lose their last game.
It's really messy, and I love it.
Yeah, so we got all that going on, and as we had our conversation with Adam Kaplan, we're just 12 days away from the NFL draft, and we got all this baseball going on as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now that Shohei Ohtani's been cleared of any wrongdoing other than the fact that he is now a sitting duck for those that want to take advantage of a man that doesn't realize that $16 million has been taken out of his bank account.
Would you notice somebody taking out $10 out of your bank account every day?
If you were married to a zillionaire,
yeah,
and you found out that he had no clue that $16 million was taken out of his bank account, would that concern you as his wife?
I would have questions.
Yeah.
I would pour a glass of wine and chat with him.
I mean, maybe, you know, now that we're married, maybe you should sort of pay attention. I know we have a lot of money, but if it was that easy for this guy to take all that money, I'd be a little worried.
Oh, yeah, and I would bring out the wine because, you know, people let it out when they're a little bit tipsy. The truth comes out. Mm. So that's why I would pull out the bottle of wine.
Well, we should share a drink someday. How about that?
Oh, I say we do that soon.
This is Fox Sports Radio.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.